Hey, it's me, it's John, the Esposito Space Master, or Games Master, if you will. I'm coming in with a sort of an upbeat introduction this week because we were fairly somber in the last episode. I think you'll understand why if you listen to the episode. We actually really enjoyed it. It was kind of a nightmarish theme park for us. I don't know what it was like for you. Anyway, thanks for continuing to come back and listen to our silly little space game. We do really appreciate that. Thanks for all of your support on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And thank you for leaving us a review. If you've not done it, you should do that because otherwise you've just been thanked for something you didn't do, and that's just damn, that's rude to accept that thanks when you didn't earn it. Anyway, enjoy this week's episode. Peace out, yo. Welcome to the 2020 recording of Esposito. We're now in the future. It's a horrifying nightmare, just as they always predict in the 80s.
No moon bases, Australia's on fire, we're going to war with Iran, and I'm pretty sure I'm still hungover, so.
Australia being on fire was predicted a few times. It's very Mad Max. But somehow more horrific.
Because it's true.
Because it's true.
And there aren't any cool cars to drive around in. There's probably some cool cars to drive around in. Let's not be unfair to Australia in their cars.
Or mutated people. Yet.
Give it time.
Okay. So, a fight happened on the streets of the dwarven city on the planet Unenda. You had headed back to the planet at the behest of Chancellor Cytwayin Ulfrind, the elected leader of the dwarven planet.
You really made your life easy, didn't you?
I did. Cytwayin Ulfrind is a good one. I'm actually quite proud of it. So she asked you to head back to... Well, she asked you to find out what was going on. She didn't ask you specifically to go back to the planet. That was your idea. That was your dumb idea. So you went back to the planet that has been invaded by what was then an unknown force. Having arrived in the city, you found a corpse of one of the enemy soldiers and correctly identified them, deep-fried insects, as...
As beetles. Beedrill.
No, they're Zamoran. I don't really know what you're saying, Mike.
Beedrills.
That's not the right thing.
Well, it is, because then we prepared for trouble.
We definitely made it at least double. I would say we went
first. I don't know what this reference is.
Thanks. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks.
We made it incredibly problematic.
That was not the next line, Tom. Make it double. It may be problematic. Jesus, Jesse.
We're close enough to getting sued, as it is.
Meow, that's right.
God damn it.
Joke's on whoever tries to sue us. We have no money.
Turns out podcasting is not the way to make millions.
Or anything.
Yeah, or even single digits.
Yeah.
We're off track, guys. This is why we don't get any money. That's not the only reason, but it's one of the. It's not even the main.
It's because someone hasn't set us up a Patreon.
Well, I mean, that's literally all of us.
That could be directed at any and all of us.
I'm just saying someone hasn't.
Well, it's valid then. Good point. Well made. Anyway, you correctly identified this corpse as a Zamoran, who are an insect-like species that every now and then they sort of appear like the boogeymen and invade a planet and then eventually get chased off and...
Past the Omega-3 relay.
Good God, stop referencing things.
What was the point of this podcast?
It is.
It's to let John say things and then reference sci-fi when he pauses to breathe.
Yeah, that's...
That is the podcast, you're right. All right, so that was some Mass Effect in there. Good. Yeah, they just... there's not much known about them. No one really understands what their motives are or anything. They just turn up a fairly unstoppable force and then leave. So you also heard some fighting from the streets up ahead. You sent Guthrum, who was your little lackey from the dwarves.
Man, fuck that guy.
back with the Zamaron corpse to the mine on the dark side of the planet, and you went on to investigate the sound of gunfire. Then ensued about an hour and a half of us drunkenly trying to have a coherent fight, which ended successfully with you killing these Zamaron and their dwarven allies. You were helped by, you didn't see who, but in a building on the corner, there was shots being fired out at the Zamaron soldiers, so that helped you. As you sort of catch your breath and sort of recuperate from this fight that you've just had, you hear the sound of furniture, heavy furniture being pushed out the way, and then one of the doors to the building that the shots were being fired out of opens, and you see a dwarf appear.
Hey! Hey, you! Get inside!
Yeah, I make a break for that. I'm just going to trust him implicitly at this stage.
I'm going to cover the rear, but I'm going to wave at Dora and Rebook to follow Dumas, and then once they're inside, I'm going to hopefully expect one of them to cover me as I run towards the door.
Yep, I follow Dumas, and we'll cover them as they run in.
Rebook does the same and takes the other side of the door.
So, coming through the doors and into the building, you enter a huge open plan office. There's no ceiling up until you get to the very top of the building. It's instead floors that run around the perimeter. I'm trying to think of a way of describing this without just saying, Tom, it's like Key 5.
I got that from what you said. Like, there's like a sort of circular mezzanine.
Yeah, essentially. Oh, that's thank you, Tom. Thank you. Backseat DM. No, I love it. Keep it up. The ground floor is full of desks. There's no cubicles or offices. The furniture is really bright and quite often strangely shaped. There's lots of bean bags and recliner chairs all over the place. And there are like gaming tables dotted throughout the space. Essentially, it looks like, I imagine, Google headquarters looks like.
Oh no, we're in a millennial workplace. Nuke it from orbit.
And you can see hanging over a large circular reception desk is a name of the company that is Unessa, which Dumas, you recognize as a dwarven gaming company, essentially.
No, I'm not into all that.
Do they dodge tax as well? I asked Dumas.
What's the DLC model like?
I've barely even heard of them. I'm not into all that newfangled nonsense, you know. It's
just when we find out the dwarves are all libertarians and we're just we're here on in Ancapistan, just no taxes. They've all got guns. No wonder aliens invaded.
Yeah, I pay my taxes.
Fair enough.
Very sensible.
So the sort of cool and hip vibe of this building, it's with it, but somewhat ruined by the furniture being pushed up against the windows and doors that you can see that they've used to barricade easy access to the building. The dwarf who ushered you over says, right, come with me. The colonel wants to see you.
Good, I'm starving.
Interesting response to a colonel. Oh, right, I see. It's the KFC guy. Okay.
Look, if we're not sponsored by him, we don't mention him.
Oh, sorry. Do you know what? I kind of think that was more me talking than Dumas. Just slipped out.
I think it was, Tom.
There's like a weird convergent evolution thing going on. There's also a chicken-based fast food restaurant.
Apparently they've just released a vegetarian chicken burger.
Well, so what are they, VFC now? Like, what's going on? Wait, no. KFV? See? No, it just doesn't work.
We could go and get some Zamaron from outside and make KFZ.
I think it's spelled with an X, Mike.
KFX. Well, fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, I think you tried. It was a good effort.
Yeah, to be fair, who knows?
I don't have the monster's manual.
It's a threats database, though. It's not a monster's manual.
Well, we get it. We're in space.
Anyway, this dwarf walks you up to a fairly burly-looking figure who is leaning over the reception desk with a steaming cup of something and a dismantled weapon just sort of spread out across the desk. As you walk through, you can see that there are hundreds of dwarves taking shelter inside this building, but only a handful, maybe a dozen, seem to be armed and armored. As you approach, the dwarf with the steaming cup or something turns around and says, "Hey, up. So you were the folks causing trouble outside. Pleasure to meet you. I'm Colonel Dumas Felcher.
Hey, we've got one of these.
Dora actually does laugh out loud.
What's so funny?
I visibly tighten my butt cheeks.
Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you, Dumas Felcher. Dead Dumas Felcher. Is that? Have you got soup?
No,
why haven't I got any soup?
It's coffee.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Can I have some?
Fine. And he just...
Okay.
Conversation carries on. They just sort of lift a huge vat of coffee, like a Teasmed type thing, and sets it on the side. Pulls up about 6 empty mugs. Help yourselves.
Great. Thank you.
So, not meaning to be rude, like, but you're an odd looking bunch to be wandering around a dwarven planet, aren't you?
Aye, that we are. Well, where do we begin? I mean, first off, who are you?
Kind of Dumas Felcher, I just said, didn't I? That's who I've been.
I know what you're asking.
What?
Who are you in the grand scheme of things, like, as a group?
I mean, you mean the chaps with the guns, right? Rest of them are dwarves.
What the bloody hell are you doing here, and why haven't you fled? Jesus.
Fucking hell. All right. Dwarven Security Forces. Colonel Dumas Felcher.
Dora literally spits coffee out the mouth.
I think your friend's allergic to coffee. If you're allergic to it, don't drink it. All right? What's in it for other folk?
No, no, it's fine. Fine, mate. Just keep as you were.
Right. So, we're on our way to the port, following the evacuation advice, or command, as you will. When we got pinned down, they forced us in here. And after that, they seemed happy to just keep us pinned in. They had no intent on coming and finishing the job. Could easily have done it. They seemed pretty keen on just keeping us pinned in. Like, we're in the way or don't matter.
So, how long you been holed up here?
About a day.
Right, and what's your plan? You learnt anything? Who are we fighting? You must have some intel, something useful.
No, look, we've been pinned in. We can't. All we know.
Well, what about your scouts?
There's only 12 of us in here. Just keeping everyone away is our main priority. Like keeping the folk inside safe. Anytime we try and get out, they have a bash at us. Pin us back in the building, so we can't get out and have a look. All we know is there's some insect fuckers, weird looking, and they've got dwarves on side for some reason.
Ah, we noticed that.
So our aim was to get to the port. It's not far from here.
We've got a route in through the dark side of the world. We can use the transit train. That's how we got here.
Problem with that. You can fit about 12 people on that in one go, and that's cramped. And it takes about 3 hours to get there, 3 hours to get back.
That's what I mean. We've got a man on the other side who's just taken back one of these aliens' bodies to our ship to take him back to your government for analysis. But he's waiting on us. So I think from the looks of things, you guys have just been sat here in a holding pattern for the last day or so, just trying to keep yourselves alive. So, get yourselves cleared out. Have you got any civilians with you, or is it just a purely military contingent? This.
So you have seen there's a couple of hundred civilian dwarves here. His point was essentially that there's about, including you guys, 220 people that need to get from here to there.
Yeah.
And it can only fit about 12 people at a time. So that's 15 to 20 trips, each at 3 hours. Well, 6 hours apiece.
Well, what we could do is we could at least move these people over to the station. And then we can defend that. And at least we've got a point to move people from A to B. Worst comes to the worst, we just start moving them on foot down the tunnel.
You can at least send those who can't fight and defend, the dead weight, as it were.
Put them on the train, and we can get them onto our ship, and then we can work out something where we can bring our ship round, or just at least try and evacuate. But to be fair, even if we can just get the civilians underground, that's going to be a better position for them than being in, you know, in an active war zone. Surely you can.
All right, yeah. That's a fair point. That's a fair point. Okay. But, so we know that there is another group in the port. Can't get out.
What do you mean? They're pinned down?
They're pinned in from the skies by the fighters. And they're pinned in on the ground by, I keep switching between Scottish and just Northern. It's an interesting voice. Sorry about that. They're pinned in on the ground by foot soldiers. They're pinned in.
And where's that?
At the port. It's about 400 metres away.
Well, what we can do is you guys make for the tunnel with the train. We go and get those guys and we all rendezvous for a nice parley on the train. How does that sound, old mate?
It depends entirely on how many people are in the port. There's enough to keep them out, but not enough to get out.
Are there ships left at the port, Colonel?
I don't know.
Not a good idea either. Not if they're penning us in from the sky. We were only able to get in to the planet's surface by going through the dark side of the planet. So we'd need to do something where we can evacuate your people. If you can organise that evacuation, we'll cover you to get your people to the station. We'll obviously get you there. But we can move in and try and, you know, just unseat people from the port. But we'd still have to move them over ground, planet side, to the dark side of the moon. And then maybe we can get whoever's at our ship can radio in the Dwarf Command to drop a few more ships through the blockade. Because we were able to get through with our kind of cobbled together stealth technology. Or wait, hang on. Rebook, we could get them back the old spaceport there. I mean, you know, obviously we wiped out that Seath Spawn there, but there was other ships, there was other Saurium cores. We could take people there and get them off the planet way.
There were more ships there, but there are several hundred civilians and whoever is alive in this port as well. I think the Colonel's point is the amount of time it will take to ferry them all back would be under attack all this time.
If we get coordinates to command, I've no doubt that they'll send a rescue. This will become top priority. We've lost too many people to be letting this many good dwarves get left behind.
How about this? We get our folk, civilians here, to the station. Okay? Then I and some of mine come with you and we scout the port. Because all this could be moot. There could be a chance that we can't get in. No point. We have to go. There's no point risking all these people's lives and all of us dying to get whoever's in there out.
Who's going to look after the civilians, friend? Exactly.
We can scout out the port just fine on our own. And we can relay back to you. If you give us your communications, we can stay in contact with you. But I think your highest priority is staying with the civilians. We'll scout out the port. We're here on a mission from your government anyway to find out what's triggered the invasion, what's causing this infection to cause your people to turn. So, you know, we've got objectives that stand anyway. So we're going to push into the city regardless, but we can get your people out and your best place to protect your people. So get them out there. And then worst comes to the worst, if we're not successful, we're compromised, we're captured, we're killed, you've got access to the ship that we came in with, and you can at least get some people off world and also get word back to your commanders, but, you know, back on the stations. So I think you and, you know, sending you and some of your boys with us is probably the worst thing to do. Stick with the civilians, make sure they're safe. Worst case scenario, get people off world and establish contact with the command group.
Plus, as you've seen, mate, we can already handle ourselves in a fight. Hmm?
As much as I'm loath to turn down help in hand, I think they've got the right of it. I think you need to protect the civilians here. We can look after ourselves.
Yes, and we would be more effective as a small group reconnaissance.
No, that's fair. There's no point rushing in for a full-on fight, is there?
Do you know how many there are?
The thing is, we don't really know. Like I said, we've not been able to get out, but we're a fairly small group, not a lot of resistance in us, and it's an unimportant building to them, I'd assume. Maybe all the buildings are unimportant. So we had about 4, maybe 5 plus the dwarves. That's a port. That's a port that's armoured. It's armed, and there's gunships in there. There's presumably a fair amount of troops. There's probably a lot more keeping them in.
Now,
I might be wrong. It could be 10. Keeping 5 people in, I don't know.
General, it's very important that we tell you this as well. The 4 or 5 dwarves that were fighting with Zamorak, we believe there's some kind of mind control, gizmo, gadgety thing going on. It's turning people against us. It happened to our own group not so long ago. So keep your wits about you.
There's almost a look of relief on his face, and he says, so they're not traitors?
Well, this all could just be one big conspiracy theory. I am off my tits on painkillers.
Not best, so we can tell, no. The ones we've seen who've turned, they didn't seem to have the wits about them.
Okay.
But who does, eh?
Well, clearly not you. Are you really with him? She seems a little of a liability.
Clearly your parents didn't have their wits about them when they named you, right?
Are you referring to Felcher? Because that's clearly a given name.
No, I was referring to Dumas. Dumas. Sorry.
It's a very common dwarven name.
I know, right? And he just slaps Dumas Korriban on the back. Like him. He's same. Just as much of a Dumas as you.
You'd think the joke could get old.
Let's get these people out of here, yeah?
Let's check, see if the perimeter's still clear.
Okay. Dumas, have you still got that heavy rifle?
Aye.
Okay, you might want to take like a window and cover us from higher up. Rebook and Dora can come with me. We'll clear a path, and then we'll have the rest of the dwarves who are already in the building firing, or covering us at least, and then we can start moving civilians into the station, can't we?
Seems like a sound enough plan. I'm game for that.
Aye.
I'm not too bad with a rifle myself, you know.
Fair enough. If you want to take the window too, that's fair. But I mean, how far away from this building is the station?
It's probably about 100 metres.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah, so we wouldn't be splitting the party then.
No, not enough to actually split the party, no. You'd all be within comms of each other still.
Right, then, yeah, cool. So yeah, Dora, if you want to take a window too, that's fair enough.
Oh, yes, I'll do that.
Right. So you guys...
I realised I can't use an auto rifle. Recoil.
Does an auto rifle have recoil?
It has a recoil of 1, and unfortunately, Dora's strength is -1.
Oh, that's too many then.
You definitely can't.
I'd be firing at disadvantage and not adding.
Mate, recoil is a bitch. That was why Jefferson never got to use a sniper rifle.
I think recoil is a brilliant addition to the game.
To be fair, it is good. I do really like it. But it was pretty devastating to not be able to use a sniper rifle as Jefferson Knight.
It's surprisingly light.
It's a good way of stopping Dex from being the all-powerful snout.
Yes, that's the thing, isn't it? It's...
Yeah. Which is the issue with D&D, isn't it? Dex is an OP stat.
Yeah.
Anywho, whilst I design my dexterous SMR trick, stupid.
To be fair,
what are you guys doing? Sorry.
While I've been at this like crappy job, I've been like toying with some ideas for like weapon profiles for this, for Esper Genesis. I've been thinking like floating them to you just to see if you might want to use them in our campaign. It's just like
some homebrew,
like flavor things where it's like they just add different profiles to the weapons based on like manufacturers and stuff rather than just, like just your standard sort of like +1s.
Like, please do that.
What's it, a bit of a Borderlands vibe to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, please.
Okay, cool. When I finish it, I'll send it over to you.
Can we have a Lassiter?
Hmm?
What? A Lassiter pistol.
What's a Lassiter pistol?
Firefly.
Firefly.
Okay.
Have you watched much Firefly?
Yeah, I've watched all of it. I just didn't like.
You it's didn't get that they... very specific reference to one episode where it's mentioned about three times.
The whole episode is about stealing the Lassiter.
Yeah, but they don't talk about the name of it or the whole thing.
Yeah, I thought that.
That's
I
true. They mentioned it twice.
They steal the medical supplies on the train.
No, that's the train
job.
The train job, yes, sorry. No, the last two ones, trash, where they steal it by throwing it through the garbage and reprogramming where the garbage disposal is taken.
I do not remember that one.
Oh, yeah, that's a cool episode.
He's got Christine Hendrickson.
That's why I don't remember. I was very focused on Christine Hendrickson.
Okay. What are you guys doing? What are you up to?
If I take up residence here through a window, will I be at disadvantage or will I be in range?
What's the range?
So it's 100 stroke 500.
To fire at the door of the transit station, you might be at disadvantage, but like it's about 100 down the street.
Right, so is there anywhere closer that I can see that might be a
better vantage point?
A better vantage point, maybe another building or something?
I mean, now we're getting down to physics, but essentially, if you could be in the building over the road, the vantage point you can get from there isn't as good. Like, you don't have a clear view of the entire street. Whereas where you are here, you do.
So before we go, John, how many civilians are there in the building?
No one's done an exact count.
Well, that's just bad management.
Yeah, really.
They've had a day and they've been under fire the whole time.
Come on, job one, right?
Someone's probably done an exact count, but you've not found them. All right, you pricks.
So I'm going to turn to Butt Itcher Caravan. I forget his name. So the other Dumas, say to him, okay, so how many men have you got like under arms?
Oh, there's 11 of us, including me.
Okay.
So there's 22 underarms.
So,
that's gold, Tom. that's right up my street.
It's like
it's inspiration, that man.
Those words alone.
First inspiration in two campaigns. It was right there.
No, there was plenty of inspiration in the first campaign. It was just in the first three episodes.
Oh, right.
Oh, man. So, I
mean that, Tom. That's inspiration.
So, yeah, I'm going to take one of those guys and get him to do a head count of the civilians for me before we go, because I want to organize them so that we can, like, we've not just got a mass of people just stampeding through a war zone. We need them organized. And if we've got around 100 people, then we can assign one of your men to a 10-man squad of civilians. So we can have them leading them and directing them. And it's not just some brief rule running through the scene. We've got a bit of crowd control and we can stop people where we need to. They feel a bit safer because they've got someone with a gun escorting them. And we're not trying to corral people who are just wandering off or panicking or going in the wrong direction.
Seems like a good idea.
Let's get that head count.
All right. And he just yells at one of the armored dwarves walking around. Private, head count now. Should be back with us in about 10 minutes. What would you like to do in the meantime? Could discuss the latest game from Unenda.
You all that.
No. I snap a controller over my knee. Get your head in the game. Wait, no, not that game. You know what I mean. Shut up. Rebook, you mentioned something about your drone being able to scope things out?
Yes, I could have a drone scope out, I guess, either on the way to the port, or I could have it keep an eye out for these civilians as they're evacuated instead.
Do you think you'd be able to get it to scout out now, just so that we've got a clear idea of what we're going to be facing on the way in? Then we can use it to kind of cover the civilians as we're moving.
This sounds like a good plan, yes. So, John, can I send my drone down the street in kind of stealth mode? It's a surveillance drone.
Yeah, so you just down the street to the transit station.
Yes, as stealthily as possible, but also it's got advantage on perception checks.
Okay, well, roll it a stealth check.
15.
Okay, and roll it a perception check, just to pick up stuff that's going on down the street.
18.
All right, so you send your drone down the street. And it doesn't see anything on the street. The street level is clear. There's still just the burnt out, wrecked vehicles and the corpses that you saw before. Some of them you added to. What it does pick up on a slight increase in fighter flyovers. So Zamorone fighters in groups of four are doing a bit more. It's still not loads of activity, but it's more than there was when you came down the street before.
Can I send it down to the port as well?
Mm-hmm. All right. It makes its way through the streets, flying fairly low, remaining out of sight from fighters above and sort of ducking back every time it sees any soldiers. It only comes past a patrol of about three Zamorone warriors. No dwarves with them. So it manages to avoid them and keeps going down the street until it arrives in a plaza that surrounds the port. So the port is a huge dome-shaped building. The spaceport doors that are sort of, they cover the I want to say climax, that's not the right word.
Oh.
Good choice of word, mate.
The culmination of the dome, that's not quite right either. What's the word I'm looking for?
Apex?
Apex.
The zenith?
Both apex or zenith. They're both
top.
Good.
The shuddering orgasm?
Shit, top was the word I needed. God damn it. The top of the dome, which is where the doors, Dumas, you would know this, but you know, everyone else that's used a spaceport realizes that ships tend to fly up from the top because going out at an angle, like it's bad for city planning. So the spaceport doors are firmly closed, and there's a couple of cannons that you can see, like artillery cannons that are taking shots at fighters as they go past. Every now and then they'll wing one. And it will spin off and crash into a distant part of the city. But there is quite a lot of fighters maintaining a perimeter around the spaceport. And on the ground, you can see, it's difficult to make out the exact number, but there's roughly 15 to 20 Zamorone soldiers, as well as a similarly sized group of these dwarves that seem to be on their side. So there are shots being exchanged on the ground between these Zamorone soldiers and a barricade that's been set up. Just outside the entrance to the building.
Shots, shots, shots.
Shots, shots, shots. There are some other dwarves that are doing pints, shots and pints.
Okay, I'm going to recall the drone.
The drone is recalled.
And relay this back to everyone. So there is a small patrol of perhaps three beedrills and a larger number fighting what I assume are more dwarves inside the spaceport.
Right, so the main priority is still the getting the civilians to the transit station. Rebook's drone saw some cannons that were being used. The barricade that the dwarves were fighting at, did they lead to the cannons that were firing?
So the cannons were inside the spaceport or being controlled from within the spaceport, and the barricade was at the entrance to the spaceport.
Right, so the dwarves still have control of the spaceport, so they're probably using the anti-air guns to keep the air support at bay. So what we could do is, and this is just the sketch of our plan, so feel free to chime in, anyone else. So once we get the civilians to the metro, we've got them safe, they're underground, they've got the other Dumas's team to protect them, they're running and they're shuttling people up and down the line. If need be, they're just walking people, running people up the underground.
The colonel chimes in at that and says, that's not a good idea. It literally just fits in the shuttle and it goes through the planet's core. It's very warm, very unsafe.
Right, okay, that's not an option. So at least they're underground, they're somewhere defensible, they're out of sight. So what we could do is, if we were able to disperse that Zamorone foot force, the rest of us could take control of the guns. We could potentially all combine to keep the Zamorone forces off of a ship or a few ships that were trying to get free of the port and run the blockade, basically, and getting back to the main ship. The only issue then would be that those ships would be in open space with virtually zero support.
Aye, aye, but didn't you say you have a ship?
We do, but we can't be in two places at once. So
no, you can't. Sorry, you can't. No. Wait, what am I saying?
Well, there's no need for that.
No, look, there's enough of us here. My men could go and get your ship. You could go and get your ship. Something like that. Mm-hmm. You say it's got stealth and that it managed to get here because of its stealth.
Stealth's a generous word.
We tried to get closer to a population center, but we couldn't run past the amount of fighters that was in the area.
What if you're not running? What if it's drifting like garbage?
We're in atmosphere. We can't do that. We'd just crash.
Stratosphere.
I mean, even
if you can get a hole punched, I mean, I'm willing to fly the ship. That's fine. I think I could do it. If you can punch a hole in the blockade and I drift like garbage near that hole, then I can provide the cover for the escaping ship or ships once they get there.
That's good. But then the only issue with that is that then you're on our ship protecting the civilians. The civilians are on their ships getting back to command. Meanwhile, we're stuck on the planet with a bunch of Zamaron and no way of getting off.
Could we not somehow coordinate with command for this plan? And they could send some ships of their own?
Yeah, no, that's a good shout, Dora. So once we'd taken the spaceport, if we were able to get a message out to command to scramble some fighters like above our coordinates to cover the exit of the civilian. And obviously there'd be more ships, so that'd be a better cover for them than just our one ship.
This is all assuming that the ships in the port are sound and
flyable, yeah. So that's a big if.
All we've got is ifs. Look, I think it's good. I think you won't be able to communicate with command from the port.
No, but we are able to communicate with command from our ship, which is on the dark side.
Exactly. That was where I was going. Yeah. Beautiful mind. You weird looking folk.
So, yeah, so we can relay a message and have command have some fighters on standby, and then we can get people off world. And then we can use the Metro to get ourselves back to our ship. And even if the Metro is compromised at that point, for whatever reason, we've got Rebook here and Dumas. They're both natives, so they can help pick our way through, even if it takes us a couple of weeks to go through by foot or by, you know, land vehicle. We can get back to the dark side of the planet, and then we can get ourselves off the planet, no problem. But the important thing is the civilians and what remains of the military forces on planet have got off world, and that's a big victory for your guys. So yeah, we'll get the civilians over to the Metro as a holding situation for them for the time being. We'll maybe send one of your guys on the Metro to relay with our man back at our ship to get that message set up, because that way you've got a communication channel between yourself and your man. Once we relieve the spaceport, we can relay that message back to our team at our ship, arrange that, and then get all the civilians off world. That would involve taking the civilians back out of the Metro tunnel and getting them to the spaceport.
Obviously, have to clear the plaza before any of that happens.
Right. First of all, what was your name again?
For me?
Right.
Everyone just calls me Hud.
Hud. It's a pleasure. And he offers his hand.
Nice to meet you, Colonel. I shake it.
I like your plan. I do. It's good. There's a couple of things I want to consider. Moving these civilians potentially twice is risky.
Yeah.
Don't have to. Could leave them here. Could take them with us to a perimeter of the plaza. That's fucking risky too. Don't get me wrong, it's risky. But it means they're closer.
The air cover is a concern as well.
That's why I don't want to move them too much. And if we could get them into a building on the perimeter.
You seem to hold this down quite well so far.
Perhaps if we move through the buildings, clear them ahead of you, then you follow.
Through the buildings?
Yes, rather than down the main street.
That's possible.
Yeah, do we have any explosives? We could blow through some adjoining walls or go from rooftop to rooftop.
We've got a A few grenades, some C4, plenty of space here. We could possibly get through.
Sorry, wait. Did you say space here?
We've got some space here. Right?
Mother of God, there are civilians in this building. Dad?
It was just part of our gear, you know. Dwarven Security Force ground level.
There are conventions.
You're dwarves and your space here. It's more and more dangerous, and each year you produce more and more.
Easy, Rebook, easy. Now's not the time.
Have enough space aid to burn the entire world.
Hold him back.
I'm holding Rebook back. But by God, he's right.
I'm just saying we could use it.
It'd go against everything I believe in.
It's ironic space aid will be used to save lives, but it may be our only hope.
I never thought I'd have to use space aid in my career.
Alright, it catches like a vat. You could set fire to a bar table in seconds. Cause a fine destruction, that would.
I swore I'd never use it.
Hang on. It's set fire to a what?
A bar table.
That's a really odd metric. I'm not here to disagree. I'm just saying.
It feels like, yeah.
It's just an odd metric.
It's just what I know. I know that you could set fire to a bar table with space here. And it would be a fine distraction.
Okay, Rebook, so if we're moving through from building to building, how do you suggest we do it?
I suggest we move ahead and clear the way for these civilians as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Small reconnaissance, perhaps call on more support if needed.
Can I say you'd need to cross the road first because we can't get through these buildings. We need to get through those buildings.
Space here, from my understanding, produces a lot of smoke.
It does.
I think, just to put in slightly, it might be a good idea to send that runner to our ship as soon as possible. It takes a while on tram.
That's a fair point.
But it has to be somebody that you trust. And, you know, if someone turned up at my ship and started throwing their weight around, I'd probably hit them in the face. So bear that in mind.
Hmm.
Our man who we sent back is a cadet and he would be very susceptible to anyone in any kind of authority.
Right, he's not going to challenge you too much.
Yeah.
He's also a bit of a tool, though.
He is a bit of a tool, but...
He was corporal if you have sergeant or above, and I'm sure he would take orders.
Also, he may be dead by now.
I only hope.
We can send someone. Hey, that's fine. At this point, the private that you shouted at before for the headcount comes up, and he says, sir, 147. That's 147 civilians.
Shit. Okay, that's a lot of civilians.
Which side of the planet is this guy from?
I'm sorry, what?
I've never heard this dwarven accent before.
Well, it's a large planet. We've got lots of accents.
Oh, he's one of those entitled lot.
It's a little bit presumptuous that we all sound same.
Priorities, come on.
Who are these xenophobic fuckers?
Colonel? Yeah, now, calm down.
Don't talk to me like that, Private. Don't you take that tone with me. I'm just curious who they are. I will slap you so hard, and so on.
Why am I just imagining that?
Magic.
So there's 147 of us.
To 11 soldiers.
And you, 4.
Plus the lot that are in the port could be hundreds in there as well.
Okay, right. Do me a favour, Private, and I know I'm being presumptuous here. I know you obviously take orders from your colonel, but as a request from one soldier to another, can you gather the civilians for me? And I'm going to have a quick word with them.
And he looks over at the colonel. The colonel gives him a very calm nod, and he says, yeah, all right, yes, okay, yeah, okay, here I go. Is there a space you'd like them?
Wherever can fit all, or failing that, most of them.
Okay, I'll get them around, sort of, in the atrium, the sort of... If you go to the reception desk, and they'll be able to see you. You might need to climb onto it, but then again, you are very tall, so maybe not.
Thank you, Private. Much appreciated. I'm just sort of rubbing my temples at this point.
He runs off, and you see as he starts to run, feet skid out from under him a little bit, and he manages to steady himself, and he carries on. He seems very excitable.
Thank you, Colonel. I also say to the other Dumas.
He's a troubling lad.
Yeah, he bothers me. But, you know.
Is his dad like a general or something? There's a bit of nagging going on. Clearly useless, you know?
It's just a bit shit.
Come on now, nice. We're all young once.
Aye, but when I was young, I was at least competent. It's fine, he's fine. Just don't stand near him whilst he's firing a gun, is what I'll say.
Good to know.
Okay, guys, let's just go over our plan one more time, just so we're 100% clear.
I am. There's about four that are floating around. We need to pin down one.
Yeah. So it sounds to me like what we're going for is our team is going to clear, building by building, a route for the civilians to kind of reach the perimeter of the spaceport. From there, we're going to separate from the civilians and the existing army group, and we're going to move in and try and break the back of the Zamorin offensive on the spaceport on the ground. We're going to relieve the defending force there, and we're going to then move the civilians into the spaceport. Once they're secured in there, we're going to then, as our team alone again, is going to assess and identify a range of potential exit vehicles for the civilians. Then we're going to cover the civilians as they move into those exit vehicles with support from the existing military group here. And then we're going to cover their exit with the port anti-air guns with support from the Dwarf Space Command covering their exit from the planet. Is that the plan, guys?
Poetry in motion.
Sounds like the best shot we have.
Aye. Most likely means certain death, but I can't see any other way around it.
Just another Tuesday. Right. Okay, so that's our plan. So I'm thinking we should probably address the civilians, give them an idea of what's happening. We'll just give them an idea of the first stage for now. We don't want to overcomplicate and panic people.
Okay. Whilst this is going on, I want to send Sergeant Bayoka.
Wait, not that useless guy from earlier.
No, Sergeant Bayoka, not a private. That's a private. Sergeant is a sergeant. They're a different rank, different person. I'll send Sergeant Bayoka down. He'll get in the transit. Nip off to your fella.
Okay. Well, what we'll do is we'll escort your sergeant down to the metro. Make sure he gets at least in the metro safe.
I think maybe as well if we take some of the more wounded civilians.
Yeah, that might be an idea as well.
Now, look, I...
Colonel, it's going to be hard enough moving these people anyway without having anyone who's particularly injured. Like we say, there's going to be multiple moves. At least one of them is going to be under fire from the enemy. It's going to be difficult, and we're going to end up with more casualties inevitably as a result. So if we've got anyone injured, any walking wounded, then we can move them, and we can get them on transit and get them on our ship.
All right, well, we can only take 11.
Yeah, at maximum. Fair enough. Sort of a second kind of sub-plan that I'm considering as well is when I address the civilians, I'm going to see if there's anyone with previous military or law enforcement or even medical experience who can help basically sort of step into sort of a semi-leadership role when we break up the civilian populations into sort of movement squads. So we can kind of keep better track of them. They're more organized and we can kind of relay orders and instructions to those squad leaders. And that can be fed back to the civilians and keep them calm and keep them organized and keep them moving.
I agree. Anyone else? Thoughts, feelings, concerns?
Several, but this is probably our best plan.
I'll let you too, Dendu. You're funny.
And Reba gives a nod back.
Right, let's get this party started.
Okay, let's speak to the civilians.
That's what that was what I was saying.
Yep, I agree. All right, let's go.
All right, you head over to the reception desk and you can see Private Useless has managed to assemble what you assume is the entire 147 complement of civilians and the other 9 soldiers. So yeah, you walk up and you can see them all sort of sitting around, kind of looking expectantly towards your group because no one's really done any addressing so far.
I sort of tap the private on the shoulder as I go past. Well done, private. Well done.
Okay, and as you tap him on the shoulder, he looks over the other shoulder and sort of does a 180 degree spin and then turns back the other way and looks very confused by the entire affair.
Ah, well, fair enough. I tried.
It was nice. I liked it.
And then I step up onto the reception desk to sort of like wait for everyone to stop talking and stuff. I hold my hands up and address the crowd and say, good evening, everyone. You probably haven't met anyone like me or my colleagues here. And I sort of gesture to the rest of the crew. We're off-worlders, but we are here to help. We were drafted in as part of a trade mission when the invasion began. We've run the blockade twice. We've been charged by your government to find any survivors and escort you off-world. First things first, I need to know if anyone among you is injured or below the age of 11. Please show of hands.
There's a tentative sort of 10 hands show up. A couple are just very small children. One person you can see is holding his hand up for someone else who laid down. But yeah, there's about 10 individuals that you can see.
Very good. You'll be joining Sergeant... I lean over to the Colonel again for this. Sorry, Colonel, what was your Sergeant's name?
Bayoka.
You'll be joining Sergeant Bayoka. We will be escorting you to the Metro Tunnels, where you will catch a ride escorted by the Sergeant back to our ship. You'll stay there, you'll be safe, and you will find a way off the planet.
And you can hear the sort of an audible sort of increase in volume of whispers between people.
I hold my hand up quite again and say, the rest of you will also find a way off the planet. I promise you this, but it's going to take more time. Obviously, there's more of you here, and we're going to need more than one ship. As a result, we're going to be moving you from this place. The path will be cleared by myself and my team, and you'll be protected by the soldiers who've been doing such a good job protecting you so far. That being said, there are a lot of you here. And while the security team have done a great job of protecting you so far, moving is going to have its own challenges. I need you, any of you who have had any experience previously in the military or in any sort of law enforcement or emergency services capacity, to raise your hands now.
And again, you see about 10 hands go up. There's a couple of people that stand up. You see a dwarf, probably slightly older than middle age. You see him stand up and like straighten his shirt and give you a nod.
That's good. I need you to make your way forward to me and the rest of the team. You'll be joining us as squad leaders. As for the rest of you, you will be split up by your squad leaders, who will be any member of the volunteers who've just stepped forward or a member of the security teams who have been protecting you thus far. They will protect you. They will organize you. They will give you orders, which you will follow instantly and to the letter. If you do not, you will die. If you do, you will survive. The squad leaders will be splitting you into teams of 10 or as close to 10 as possible. They will help you and they will guide you through our movements through the city. When we reach a certain point, we will relay more information to you. Until that time, treat everything that your squad leaders say to you as the word of law. Listen to us, listen to them, and we'll all get out of this in one piece. Thank you.
You roll a persuasion.
Okay.
With advantage.
Need that because I've got a flat zero in charisma. Okay, cool. 17.
Okay. There's a low murmur of whispers, but you get the feeling that you've inspired a level of confidence that these people have desperately needed for the last 24 hours that they have not had.
Okay, good. So I pop down off of the table and I sort of turn to the volunteers and the rest of the security forces. And I say to them, Sergeant, where are you?
You mean Sergeant Bayoka?
Yeah.
I'm here.
All right, Sergeant. I'm going to need you to round up the non-combatants for me and meet us near the entrance to the building in, let's say, 5 minutes, if you can.
On it.
Okay, thank you, Sergeant.
And he jogs off.
As for the rest of you, I'm going to need you to move amongst the crowds and break them up into 10-man squads obviously with the people who are gone and obviously with the number of people we've got, it may end up being more in certain squads, but let's try and spread that number as evenly as we can across people. Volunteer squad leaders, I'm hoping the security team can issue you with weapons if you've got experience. How many of you have got weapon experience?
Three of them put their hands up.
Okay, that's fine. So yeah, we can sit you with weapons. If not, I've got some spares. In the meantime, like I say, split up your squads into as close to 10-man squads as you can. Speak to them, comfort them, make sure that they understand to listen to you. Anyone who you think is confident or capable of, you know, dealing with the situation, nominate them as your second in command should something happen to you. Make sure they're not carrying anything of sentimental value, anything heavy, anything loud, anything that will give away their positions or make them a kind of a liability if we need to run. Okay?
They look at each other and nod at you. You hear one of the guys say, yes, sir.
Okay, good stuff. Let's get it done. I'll give you guys 10 minutes to get that arranged. And obviously, you'll have a bit of extra time as we're escorting the sergeant and the non-coms. But I want us ready to move as soon as we're back.
Just a quick question regarding the people that are injured. A few of them are on the floor. How are we going to carry? Are we going to carry them to the train station? Do we need more hands for that?
I was hoping we might be able to improvise something like a stretcher, or maybe okay. Like we had a grab pallet coming out of the mine. Is there anything else like that here, Colonel?
Not that I've found in the building. We could rip apart a desk and lay some people on desks.
Nothing that carries the post around or whatever, employees.
Honestly, not explored the building that much.
All right. It might be worth setting someone then, or actually one of us maybe, or a few of us. We'll search the building before we start escorting the sergeant, and we'll try and find something that we can use as a sled or something. I'm going to go find the sergeant. He'll have probably rounded up most of his team, and I'll see how many sleds or stretchers we need.
I'll start looking now then.
Nice one, Dora.
Here, Hood.
Yeah?
Just wanted to say, you know, for an off-worlder, that didn't suck.
Thanks, Dumas. It's war. It's the same everywhere.
Anyway, as you were.
Cheers. I'm going to jog over to the sergeant and find out how many people need support with movement.
Okay. You're also, I'm going to give you inspiration as well, because I like.
Yeah.
So you arrive at Sergeant Bayaka's position at the front of the building, and you can see he's surrounded by slightly more than 10 people. It looks like some of their, I'm going to say carers, because they're injured, are accompanying them at this point. There are two that appear to not be able to walk easily.
Okay, I'm going to just use my comm beads to speak to the rest of the guys and say, okay, we've got two people who are going to have issues with movement. Let's see if we can find something that we can rig up to support them. Then I turn to sort of the rest of the team and say, who's looking after these people?
And there's a couple that put their hands up. One of them says, the two of us aren't injured as such, but we've been looking after these people.
Okay.
We don't need to go with them. We know that there's limited space on the transport. We don't need to go.
That's good. That's fine. Okay. As long as you understand that, that's kind of what I was going to talk about. I'm not going to risk you when we're escorting your charges over there. Thank you for looking after them as well as you have so far. But we'll take it from here, and we'll protect them, and we'll protect you too. We're going to make sure that everyone gets out of this.
And you can see they're kind of like, they're welling up a little bit, and like, you can tell they're fucking terrified. But they just sort of quietly nod at you.
I'm going to walk over to one of them, take him by the shoulder and say, it's okay. I know it's bad now, but I've seen a lot worse. And we've got a plan. We've got support. Your government hasn't forgotten about you. They're up there. They're organizing. They've sent us. They've got capability. And if we do this right, we all go home. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. I turn back to the people who are going to be part of this team. So how many kids have we got?
There's four. There's four kids.
Okay. So there's four kids, two badly injured. That leaves four walking wounded?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless one of the kids can't walk. No, that's not true.
Oh, God. So the kids and the walking wounded, I'm going to pair them up and I'm going to say to the kids, okay, so this is your buddy. You stay with your buddy no matter what happens, no matter what you hear, no matter what you see. You stay with your buddy. And then I point to the sergeant and I say, you and your buddy both always listen to the sergeant, okay?
Then the nod, sort of shyly.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Okay, and then I turn to the sergeant and I say to him, okay, sergeant, how are you feeling about this?
All right.
You ready? You prepared?
Good to go.
I know civilian escort isn't always covered in basic, but we're making the best out of a bad situation here.
We're not a particularly, I'd say, military campaigning sort of group. Our military is our security, is our police. We'll be right.
So you've got some experience with crowd control and dealing with civilians then. That's good to hear. That's good to hear. Obviously, just so you're aware, your main priority is getting to the metro station with these civilians, get them on board and get them out. My team will be supporting you on the way. If one of us gets hit, if one of us looks like we're in trouble, if one of us dies, you do not stop. You do not try to help us. You keep pushing forward until you get to the metro point. Is that understood?
Aye.
John, have I found any wheelable desks or...
Where have you looked? What have you done?
I'm just trying to find the nearest room. I'll start with trying to find the kind of office that has maybe even like a wheelable chair or, you know, we're in space. Maybe it's floating.
So it's open plan. There are some doors into other parts of the building around the edges. You don't speak Dwarven, so you don't know what any of the signs say. So I guess roll investigation.
Okay. I will also touch myself, give myself amplify ability for this as well. Oh, great. 7.
You do manage to find a hovering chair.
Great.
Could I check the stairwells, John?
Yes, what are you looking? Oh, right. Yes, I see what you're doing. Yes. Yes, you can.
So, yeah, I want to check the stairwells and see if, you know, how in stairwells you often get those evac chairs for fires.
Yep.
Yeah, and see if there's anything there that could possibly be used to help carry someone out on.
You go to the stairwell, go up to the first floor, and you do see there is an evac chair there because dwarves are not barbarians and they do care. But no offense to barbarians, dwarves are not barbarians and they do care about their... injured or shit.
I love how you're searching for the PC word.
I am. I don't know if it's disabled or it is disabled.
Disabled PC.
It is. I just liked how you were struggling with it.
Yes, they are people that have a heart and soul and they care about people that are less mobile than themselves or less economically stable or, you know, they're just not cunts. Dwarves are nice people is what I'm trying to say.
Good point. Well made.
Sorry, I went off on a tangent, distracted myself. You find an evacuation chair. And knowing, as you do, the structure of most buildings, you are aware that there will be these on each floor.
Cool. Maybe I'll see if we can grab a defibrillator too while we're here on this liberal...
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
In this liberal mecca.
That is definitely going to be within the port. Because they need to be in an easily accessible public space. This is a corporate building, Tom.
Fine.
They can be in a corporate building as well, but they're not in this one.
Okay, cool.
I love the thought of someone listening to this and going, yeah, I knew they were nerds, but I didn't know they were health and safety nerds. God.
Fucking hell, I don't know where... This is what happens when you work in offices and you didn't realise. That doesn't make sense. I knew I worked in an office.
Is anyone amongst you a mental health first aider?
Thomas.
I'm in for the crowd, but
and I'm actually I've got 2 qualifications in actual at work first aid.
There we go.
Dumas is as well. Dumas has a special lanyard at work.
I imagine Dumas is also he's not a regular first aider. He doesn't believe in that. He believes if you get shot in the leg, you should shake it off.
He's definitely a fire marshal.
Maybe we should go and carry out the plan.
Cool. You managed to get a couple of the evacuation chairs, which, fancier than not space evacuation chairs, also have a low-yield hovering device. So they will remain a couple of inches off of the ground when activated. No need for wheels. They're much quieter than that. This is delightful.
Like a hover mobility scooter.
This is luxury evacuation.
So what's my floaty chair like? Is it just shit?
You get the feeling that it doesn't really move quickly. Like, it's designed for sitting on in a comfortable way, but not for escaping on.
Would the gravity chairs, would they be able to support one injured person and a child in them?
You don't know. You're not really up to date on the specs for dwarven evacuation chairs.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But considering Dumas is the office health and safety manager.
That is true, he is. Essentially, probably, if they are a sort of lighter-weighted injured person and a lighter-weighted child, potentially, because, you know, they also don't have...
to save people, not fat-shame them.
I know. Yes. I don't know why I'm being a dick about this. Yes, you can do that.
Thank you, John.
God damn it. That was 10 minutes of just sheer pain.
All I wanted was an evac chair.
And you have two, and they will hold an injured person and a child. Yes. Okay. Let's move on, please.